Hello again, my friends, my neighbors, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to your daily devotional today. It's Pastor Bob, and we are continuing our walk through the stories of Jesus. And we're up to story 22 of the 24 stories we're sharing. And this is our third part of story 22. It's called The Crucifixion, and we'll see how far we get today. It's Middle Sabbath today, by the way. It's Wednesday. So let's make sure we provide time and space for God to work within us and have the eyes to see and the ears to hear Jesus. See if this helps. I'll read a little bit from where we left off yesterday and go right into today. The painful hours dragged by. High noon came, and the sun blazed overhead. Then suddenly the sun was covered by black clouds, and darkness fell over all the land. A strong wind swept the hill upon which the crosses stood, an eerie sound in the strange darkness of the day. Many of the people shook with fear, and many of them left the place of death, trying to escape their fear. But many others, friends and enemies alike, stayed to see the end. And today, we continue. 3 hours later, under a sky still ominously dark, Jesus cried out suddenly, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His hearers recognized the words, for they were also in the scriptures that had foretold the manner of his death. There was a brief silence, and the sky began to brighten. Then Jesus spoke again, once more fulfilling the scriptures. "I thirst," he said. There was a bowl of the sour wine standing by. One of the watchers took a sponge and soaked it in the wine, then put it on a reed and held it up so that Jesus might drink. And some of the others jeered, saying, "Let us see whether Elijah comes to save him." Jesus moistened his lips with the sour wine. His work was now accomplished, and he was ready to free his spirit. He cried out again in a firm, clear voice, "It is finished." And to his listeners, it sounded not like a cry of despair, but a cry of victory. Now Jesus spoke his last words on the cross. "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." When he had said this, he bowed his head and died. At the very moment in which he yielded up his spirit, the curtain that veiled the inner sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, great rocks shattered, tombs opened, and saints rose from their sleep to leave their graves. The Roman centurion in charge of the guard saw how Jesus had yielded up his spirit. He saw the earthquake and many other strange and wonderful things that happened in the moment of Jesus' death. And he was so frightened and amazed that he cried out in glory of God. "This surely was a righteous man," he said in awe. "Truly, he must have been a son of God." And others echoed him. By now it was all over. The crowds that had gathered to watch the spectacle turned away, beating their breasts, and went back to the city. But the friends of Jesus and his mother and many women who had followed him from Galilee stayed there, watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Salome, the wife of Zebedee and mother of James and John, and Mary, the wife of Alphaeus and mother of the other James. All had loved him deeply, and all were overcome with sorrow for their master and for his weeping mother. It was now mid-afternoon, and the beginning of the Sabbath would come with the setting of the sun. And because the bodies could neither be removed from the crosses or allowed to remain upon them on the Sabbath day, least of all during the Passover season, the Jews went to Pilate and asked that the bodies be removed at once. Pilate agreed to their request and sent his soldiers back to Calvary. First, they made sure that the two robbers were dead. Then they came to Jesus. They knew he was already dead, yet one of the soldiers thrust a spear into his side, and from the wound there flowed both water and blood. They stared at the limp body in surprise, not knowing that they were fulfilling yet another prophecy. Quote, "They shall look upon the man whom they have pierced," unquote. When it was close to evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who went to see Pilate to ask for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a Pharisee and a respected member of the council. But like Nicodemus, he was a good and righteous man who had vehemently objected to any suggestion that Jesus might be harmed. In fact, when the council had held their hasty pre-dawn meeting, they had taken good care to exclude both Joseph and Nicodemus. They knew that these two men were sympathetic toward the Nazarene. What they did not know was that both of them were actually disciples of Jesus and were themselves looking for the kingdom of God through the man from Nazareth. And now Joseph of Arimathea stood boldly before Pilate, asking for the body of Jesus so that he might bury it. Pilate granted permission. Joseph therefore went to the place of death, taking with him fine linen cloths to wrap around the body. Nicodemus went also, taking a mixture of myrrh and aloes to perfume the grave clothes. Ordinarily, the body would be carefully washed and anointed before burial, but there was no time for that. Together, the two men took Jesus down from the cross. Together, they bound his body in the linen cloths with the spices in accordance with the Jewish custom. Then, with the help of friends, they gently carried Jesus to a tomb in a garden near the place of the cross. It was Joseph's own new tomb, one that he had hewn from rock for the day of his own burial, and no man had ever yet been laid in it. And now Joseph was using it as a resting place for Jesus, so that the master might be buried before sundown, and in a place where his body would be safe from enemies who might wish to steal or desecrate it. And that's the end of our segment today. The crucifixion. We will pick up right where we left off and finish the story tomorrow. Until then, have a blessed day. Have an open heart, and have a giving spirit.